joining me on the line, John Steenhuisen. John, a very, very good morning, and thank you for taking the time to speak to us.
Good morning, Howard. Great to be with you and great to be with the listeners. Thanks for the opportunity.
So first of all, a massive congratulations from all of us here. We spoke to you before you were in this position. At that stage, I think there was very little foresight, certainly from us, that Musi Mamani was going to step down. And congratulations on being appointed the DA's interim leader. What does that mean, interim leader?
Well, Howard, essentially means that I have been elected by the Federal Council to lead the party until we can have a full Congress, and that's scheduled for the end of May next year. And so I have all the full powers of the leader of the party until such time as that Congress takes place. And as I've indicated already, I will be a candidate at that Congress as well at the end of May, and it's fully my intention to win and lead the party into the local government elections.
Was it difficult sitting in the position as as a senior member of the party and watching where the DA perhaps floundered? I've been fairly open in my thoughts. I've been a DA supporter most of my life, most of my voting life, certainly. But when it came to this last election, I had to think very long and hard as to whether the DA was the party that I wanted to vote for. In the end, I wrote an op-ed for News 24, I did vote for the DA, but I had certain concerns. Now, if I was viewing it from the outside, non-involved in the party at all, it must have been quite concerning from within the party.
Yeah, Howard, I'm not going to lie. It was very concerning and very disconcerting, actually, in many aspects. You know, this is a project I've given 22 years of my life to. And, you know, I don't think our last performance in the election is anything to be proud of. Nobody wants to go backwards in an election. And I think it was a consequence of, I think, hundreds of thousands of voters just like you who looked at the DA and were not sure about what they were fighting for, what they wanted to achieve, and looked at a party that wasn't really speaking to them and speaking to the future. And I think that's what the mission now is, to rebuild trust with people like you, people who've never trusted us before with their vote, but also hundreds of thousands of young people in the last election who just didn't vote at all. And we've got to be a future-focused, modern party that's able to ignite their interest and let them see that politics can change their lived experience. So those for me are the big three key challenges that we need to face going forward, and to reestablish the DA as a party of the center, but not necessarily trying to be everything to everybody, but making sure that we're setting out a very clear offer and alternative, so that when people look at the DA, it's not this ambiguous mess that confuses people.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what the issue was the messaging, is that it was unclear, and the sense was that if a party has a personality, which I think it does, the DA was sort of the people pleaser of South African politics.
No, absolutely, and also we've got to set out the stall, and I think that the politics has moved on a lot. Under the Zuma era, you know, you just simply bash the ANC, you bash Zuma, you know, you're able to get people out. I think voters are a lot more sophisticated. I think they're looking for an offer. They're looking to see what a party is going to do for them. So the days, and I've been very clear with the party on this, of just sort of bashing the ANC are past. We've got to be setting out a modern, compassionate offer for South Africans that shows what we're going to do. Yes, we know things are bad, but we want to show you how things can be better under the DA. And I think that stall that we set out is going to have to be far more clear and far more future-focused than we have been in the past.
Mm. The issue of race politics is something that I absolutely detest. It's one of my pet hates. And, in fact, just a little bit earlier, I made the comment about the new appointment at Eskom, is that none of us see color in the dark. And I think that's true. That metaphor is true, really, for everybody at the end of the day. All South Africans want, no matter which background, no matter where you come from, is we all want the things that each other want. The Rugby World Cup showed us that we genuinely do have a united spirit and a united intention. The That being said, the fact that you are a white person being appointed to the DA, which is an organization that has been accused of being a white person's party, how do you get around that?
Sure, and I think that, you know, as much as I, like you, I share the view that, that race politics is a cul-de-sac that's going to take South Africa into, right back to where we were in the 1980s if we carry on with it. We can't be blind to the fact that race does matter and, you know, perceptions matter. But the point that I've made in all of this is simply this, that I couldn't choose how I came out, what I looked like or, you know, what the color of my skin was. And yes, no doubt, I was a beneficiary of policies that favored a ugly race-based policies that favored a certain race group in South Africa. But I can choose to how I use those. That's something I've got a choice to do to make life better for ordinary South Africans. And, you know, I use the example of people like Helen Suzman, people like Alan Payton, who didn't necessarily have to be black South Africans to stand up for the plight and for what was right of black South Africans. And, you know, I've said to people, judge me by what I do and what I can achieve. Don't judge me by my skin color. If you see my skin color only, then you don't see me as a person. I've got a contribution to make. And right now, given the situation the country's in, I think we need the best of everybody to be pulling together, to be putting our shoulder to the wheel and moving the country forward, because rich or poor, black or white, Muslim, Hindu, Christian or Jew, if this country fails, we're all going to go down together. It's not going to matter all those things. They're going to be arbitrary things. We're all going to suffer and or we're all going to rise together. And I think that's what the point I want to make is. And that's why it's frustrating to see the reaction to the new Eskom CEO. The poor guy hasn't even been given a chance to do anything there. Mm. And he's already been written off and, you know, treated like a pariah. Let's give all South Africans, we truly believe in the constitutional principle that South Africa belongs to all who live in it, united in our diversity, then we need the best of all of that diversity to pull together and do what needs to be done to get the country moving forward.
Well, interestingly enough, I see the fact that you have been appointed in this position and that he's been appointed as the CEO of Eskom is actually an indication that we have transformed. Strangely enough, the appointment of people who are white into those positions means that transformation has been, to some extent, actually fairly successful.
Well, look, I don't know if everyone shares your worldview.
No, I'm sure not.
I would like to say that, you know, we've got a mountain to climb because race-based policies of the past and the perpetuation of those race-based policies under the ANC seeks to drive South Africans apart and create those artificial wedges that exist between us. But yes, I mean, I think that, you know, the president's been clear as well, which is amazing. A week sort of after talking about non-racialism, I mean, the president's saying, you know, it doesn't matter what the color of the cat is, as long as it catches the mice. And defending the ANC, defending the appointment. Jesse Duarte talking very openly about how racist and tribalist the governing party has become. So I think that these are conversations we need to have. But we really don't have a lot of time. We're standing on a burning platform, 10 million unemployed, schools that aren't teaching people the most basics to read and write, massive poverty in the country. These are huge challenges, and we don't have time and luxury to indulge in, I think, irrelevant debates. We need to be
absolutely right,
knuckling down and getting to the heart of that.
Well, on that subject, if all the surveys indicate that the number one issue, no matter what politicians like to tell us, the number one issue within South Africa is the issue of employment and the economy. What's the DA's view on, and what's the DA's strategy on this?
Well, we've got an economy that's not growing. We've got a design of the economy that's not working. The state-led growth model that's been trumpeted by the governing party is not working. We now have these huge state-owned entities that exist as time bombs on the balance sheet of South Africa. We still have policy uncertainty that's continuing to perpetuate across the board. So, you know, the president talks about restructuring Eskom, the unions, and people in his own party say something else. Nationalization of the Reserve Bank, prescribed assets, NHI, all these things, there's still massive policy confusion. So you've got to bed that down first of all. And then the second thing we've got to do is make sure that, you know, if you want a growing economy, then you've got to pull the levers to ensure that it happens. And that means we've got to look at labor legislation. We've got to look at releasing red tape so it's easy for small and medium micro enterprises to flourish and create jobs. They're the engine rooms of job creation in South Africa, and we need to be investor-friendly and tourist-friendly to attract the huge amounts of foreign investment that we require if we're going to get the economy moving. And given the very low level of skills in South Africa, we need to be attracting high labor intensity manufacturing jobs into South Africa, and that means we've got to tailor the package to do that. The visa regulation speaks against that. This debate around expropriation without compensation, property rights being undermined, these are all massive deterrents to economic growth and investment. And we've shown very clearly around the world that when property rights are strong and the rights of investors are strong, economies grow. Quite the opposite happens when you have policies that do otherwise. And we've seen it in Venezuela, we've seen it in Zimbabwe, we've seen it in so many other places around the world. If we're committed to a growth agenda in South Africa, then nothing we do in parliament, in cabinet, in councils, in legislatures should be allowed to undermine that growth agenda.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. Would you say that that the ANC under Cyril Ramaphosa has got a realistic view of what needs to be done?
I think that the president and people around the president know what needs to be done and know what's required, but no one's taking the hard choices yet. And I think that I said in an article I wrote for News 24 a little while ago, we need fewer wishbones and more backbones in South Africa. And it's time now for the president to stand up to the enemies of growth. And those enemies of growth don't sit on the opposition benches. They sit behind the president in parliament, in his own party, the unions, the radical left in his own party. And I really want to see the president stepping forward. I think his finance minister produced a very brave document that, well, I think was a very sobering analysis of where we are as a country, why the economy is not working, and the steps that are going to be required to do it. And I think it needed more backing from the president, and I think he needs to be bolder about speaking up and speaking out for these reforms that are required, because if we don't take the hard choices now and make the bold reforms to the education system, to the labor system, standing up to the unions on the public service wage bill, these are all going to come at a huge opportunity cost later down the line. And unfortunately, the more that they prevail, the more they're going to crowd out the opportunity for getting people into employment, giving people opportunity and out of poverty.
Mm-hmm. I just want to go move for closer to home, to the city of Johannesburg. The resignation of Herman Mashaba, obviously a blow to the city as well as, I would imagine, to the DA. Personally, I found it a bit unfathomable. I think the guy just needed a holiday. I haven't been particularly blown away by some of his tweets and his messaging since his resignation. But be that as it may, that's a separate issue. For the DA, what does this mean in terms of the way forward for Johannesburg?
Well, we are committed to continuing in the relationship there we have with the other opposition parties around the coalition. But it looks to me like there's some horse trading going on between the ANC and EFF, and they're trading off Joburg and Tshwane. I think that Herman managed to achieve some good things in Joburg, and I think that the coalition there has been able to do some good things around getting finances back on track, ensuring that we are laying services down and ensuring that the roads are fixed and reopened, and job opportunities and job centres are being created. So there's been some good work in Joburg. I think it would be a shame to see Joburg and Tshwane thrown back to the wolves. Much like you've seen what happens in Nelson Mandela Bay, how that city's just gone completely backwards since Ethel Trollope and the coalition government were removed from office there by the EFF. Those people are suffering heavily in Nelson Mandela Bay. It is really a city on the ropes. And it would be a shame to see the same happening to Joburg and Tshwane. But you know, Howard, you can't be in government at all costs. And, you know, I'm very concerned about the daily reports that are coming around about what the EFF have been up to there with tenders and contracts and using centres there of service delivery for what looks like rent seeking of the highest order. And you know, there's a famous saying in politics that when you lie down with dogs, you wake up with fleas. And I think the DA needs to be very careful that we don't end up with fleas. So if we can commit to clean, accountable government that delivers services, creates jobs, and lifts people out of poverty, we will work with anybody. But the moment you start moving away from that, or coalition partners start moving away from that and start getting involved in tender fraud and contracts and manipulating appointments and outcomes, I think that damages the DA's brand, and we need to be very, very careful about protecting our brand of good governance and transparent, open, and accountable government.
Absolutely. I'm chatting to John Steenhuisen, leader of the DA. Are you concerned that Musi Mamani and Herman Mashaba might get together to form a new political party?
No, I'm not concerned, Howard. I mean, anyone who looks at the history of the DA and its predecessors will know that this is the long obedience. It's politics of the long haul. And starting new political parties isn't easy, and we've seen a number of them burst onto the scene with great fanfare over the course of the last decade, only to fizzle out like a damp squib. And so, yes, I mean, there were, I think there's 13 parties in Parliament. There were over 50 on the ballot paper in the last election. It'll be another competitor on the political scene. But I think if we stick to our values and our principles and we get back to sharing those in an unambiguous, clear way with people about what we are doing, why are we doing it, where we want to take South Africa, I've no doubt that we will prevail. And, you know, other parties have come along. You know, they're just competitors in the space, and it doesn't matter who's leading them. But we also know that personality politics is something that doesn't really work out in
South Africa.
You've seen big personalities, and those parties are not sustainable, but they're not rooted in principles and values.
That is where we leave it. John Steenhuisen, I make no secret of the fact that I am a supporter of yours. I wish you a great amount of luck. I think you're the right person for the job, and please God, you will take the DA to where it needs to go, not only for yourself, for the party, but in fact for all South Africans. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us today.
Thank you, Howard, and thanks for the opportunity. And I can tell you it's going to be every ounce of our fiber and being is going to be dedicated to getting the DA battle ready and to take it to new heights. South Africa needs the DA, democracy needs the DA, and the people of South Africa need the DA. And I take it as a huge responsibility. But thanks for your kind words, and thanks again for the opportunity.
Be well. That is John Steenhuisen.